Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Scream into the microphone this morning so bad. But it's 9 a.m. on a Sunday morning. I just want to go, Man. Yeah, right? That's exactly the sound I made last night watching the Hawks. And it wasn't pretty. Though I really like this song. Oh, my God. Welcome to the Northern Kia Studios. John Fricke with you on a Sunday morning. And so I thought about this. I'm only here for a couple hours. And I thought, do I really on a Sunday morning at 9 a.m., do I start ranting and raving into a microphone? Because I ranted and raved yesterday about the Hawks. Do I do it again today? I'm like, gosh, it's 9 a.m. on Sunday morning. Gosh, you know, guys, people are going to McDonald's and sitting in drive-thrus at, you know, well, not Chick-fil-A, obviously. But, you know, they're going to get ready for church. I mean, oh, my goodness. You know, but what I thought the other night when they lost and missed those shots at in the last 10 seconds and lost at home to Toronto, and I said it was a bad, bad, bad loss. It was total, thank you for editing that out, Noel. And I said it was the worst loss of the year. Well, I couldn't get worse. Oh, it just got worse. It got worse. Oh, my God. Help me see my sinners loving the sweet Mary Jesus. Oh, my word. All right. Yeah, it's not good. This roller coaster that the Hawks have been on, right? That downslope they're on right now, that's bottom of the league downslope. That's as bad as it gets. All right, I'm biting my tongue. Noel White is running the ship back at Colony Square, and she is with us for these 2 hours. Now, how are you today?
Pretty good, John.
Right. Yep, just trying to figure this all out. Well, yeah, I know. You know, highs and lows and ups and downs, Noel. I mean, so this is how I kind of ride the wave, all right? So now I'm riding the wave. Yesterday I was riding the wave of you got to make a, you know, you had to make a major move. You heard me rant. I was ranting while you were on the board. You know, go out and take whatever it takes to take the two expiring contracts of Clint. I mean, they have other expiring contracts, but the two major ones, Clint and Nance. And it was good to see Larry Nance Jr. back last night, even though he didn't play, obviously, great. You know, he's just getting back or get back into playing shape. But it does indicate to other teams who want to trade that Larry Nance Jr. is healthy, and so they'll have him for the rest of this year and then be able to make their own decision on whether or not to keep him, and you know, for next year. So I think it's pretty obvious they're going to have to make a trade. The question is at what level, you know, and I was like, look, you know, go all in, push all in, go for the gusto, you know, and go get that superstar, call Phoenix, call Utah, call, you know, the Swamp, call everybody and say, look, you know, we've got Clint, we got Nance, we can pair him with something, you know, we want to get a contract. Do you want Bogey? Somebody take Bogey? Well, what the hell's happened to Bogey? He's like bad.
Man, like, it's like he left his shot in Paris.
Yeah.
Like I said this summer, I need you to bring that back to Atlanta. You brought nothing back. Like, he had, what, one good game this season so far? Like, 40 games? It's been rough to watch.
Rough? Rough isn't, you're much too kind. It's been dog poop.
Yeah, boy. It's, those were like, in my opinion, I expect 4 threes a night out of Bogey, and anything out of that is icing. So that's a guaranteed 12 to 15 points off the bench that you've just been not getting at all.
Yeah. Anyway, that's a smaller side story here to the bigger issues and problems. You've lost four in a row. You lost three in a row at home in the worst possible fashion. In two of them, the last night and the opening Detroit game, you shot like you were incapable of understanding the rules of the NBA. I mean, like, you were like the worst team in the league. Then when Toronto beats you at home back-to-back and you play as lifeless, let me put it to you in other terms here. Where Quinn Snyder, and I don't, he's not, and I like Quinn Snyder, but where Quinn Snyder's somewhat on the hot seat, right? I mean, there was a lot of questions about him, about his ability to coach or whatever. It was, you were on the, we were starting to talk about, you know, hey, are you going to move on from him after the year? Last night was so bad that I would have fired him this morning. Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that they should. I'm keeping Coach Quinn. I'm just saying that that's how bad it was. When you lose at home to Toronto back-to-back, and then you lose by 23, and worse than losing by 23, you shoot like you shot last night, worse than all that, you show no signs of fight or life. That team, there's a big Q word out there. It's four letters. That's what they looked like last night. I know no Hawks players are up at 9:05. They don't get up this early in the morning, but I would look up straight and say, you know, you guys look like you queued last night. I don't like using that word, but that's what you look like. You should have come out in like the some kind of special uniforms where you're. We should give all the fans white flags because that's what they were waving last night, and that's what we're waving. It was that bad. You just lost. Toronto and Washington have won combined. Four wins on the road this year for those two teams. Their record now on the road combined is 4-39. That's their record, 4-39. Three of those four wins are here against the Hawks. Three of the four, including back-to-back to a Toronto team that was 1-19 on the road coming into the first of the two. This is just, it's so disgusting. I can't even tell you how bad it is. And then to compound it, there's something even worse. Ah, no, Johnny, can't get worse. Yeah, it can. Because for as much as I was pushing and shoving and saying, look, you got to make a big deal, we now find out Jalen Johnson's shoulder injury might be worse than we first thought because now they're saying he could be out indefinitely. And if he's out indefinitely, that means there's no real motivation for management to make a big move. They're going to go, well, yeah, I mean, but if he's out indefinitely, what's the point of trying to make a big move now? So it's an excuse for them, and they're not necessarily wrong, by the way. I can't sit there and say, oh, they're just using it as his injury as an excuse not to make a major move. I can't say that they're wrong, because remember, I mean, there's certain things are going to happen, like Jalen's contract's going to go way up next year, way, way, way up. But... you know, they're going to say, look, the whole point of making the move would be to get another superstar next to Trey on the other side of the court opposite Jalen and to have a big three. But if Jalen's not here or if he's out for the, who knows? He's out indefinitely. Does he have to have surgery? I don't know. I mean, then what's the point of spending all that capital going into the luxury tax if Jalen's out and now you still have only two and we're still losing to Toronto? I mean, so... you know, it's sort of like get out of jail free card if you don't want to go into the luxury tax, I guess, for lack of a better term. You know, so, I mean, they're still going to have to make a trade because you have assets here. I mean, you could take Clint, you could take Nance. They're both expiring contracts. You have another, about 10, 11 days to the trade deadline here. You can... you could trade those, but now you, instead of going out for a superstar, you could trade them for, since, you know, it's a zero-out thing, you match up the contracts, they got $33 million, I think. You could take on an expiring contract of some kind and get a, and maybe get a pick or two back and try and do it, you know, okay, we'll just take draft picks. And then say, well, we'll dump all that salary at the end of the year, and then we can, you know, talk about bringing on another deal. You know, because, again, Jalen's contract's going to go way up, so when you take out a third contract, we just have to try to unload some here. I don't know how they're going to play it. I'll just tell you that right now they're going to be able to be justified in saying we're not going to make a move for an Ingram. We're not going to make a move for a Zach LaVine. We're not, they may, by the way, they may still do that. But I'm just saying if they don't, then now they're going to say, yeah, you know, I mean, this is where we're at. And, okay. And it's just so frustrating. Because now I flipped almost from yesterday, because I did talk about it a little bit yesterday, that I said you can make an argument for trading Trey. Because if you're not going to try to win a title with Trey, if you're not willing to go into the luxury tax, if you're not willing to overpay which is what Boston does, what Milwaukee does with the big team. If you're not willing to play in the big, if you're not willing to swim in the big pool and you want to swim in that little kiddie pool over there, then what's the point of having somebody? Just let Trey go swim in the big kid's pool because you don't want to. So let him go. Because what would you want for Trey in a trade? Noel, would you want three number one picks? I would. That's what I'd ask for. I mean, you'd have to match salaries and everything, so you'd have to take a bunch of expiring contracts. But I'd still want three number one picks.
Yeah, the other teams would try to fight you on it due to the narrative around him. But yes, for this team, you would need at least two or three number ones to restart.
Yeah. So you can almost make a justification of saying, okay, we're going to trade Trey and send him off to somewhere where he's going to win a whole bunch of titles, and we're going to get three number ones, and we're going to reset this franchise around Jalen Johnson. He'll be the lead dog. We got Zachary Risacher, and we've got Dyson Daniels, and we're going to reset the franchise around all these draft picks, and it's about what's going to happen 2 to 3 years from now, which, of course, is always the way it works for the Atlanta Hawks. It's always about the future. It's always about prospects. It's never about parades. But after last night, I quit watching. So I checked out and I went to Netflix. I just stopped. I said, yeah, I'm done. I just was sorry. Like, I'm not watching this. It was awful. I said, I'm just done. And I'll get frustrated, but I don't. This is how I get frustrated sometimes. If I'm frustrated, I'll turn the sound off. Because I don't want to hear the announcers talk. And I'm an announcer. But unless I'm doing a game with Steve, of course, with the Falcons, a lot of times I'll try and sync it up with Wes and Dave because I like hearing those guys do the game. But I just turn the sound off. Now, when I'm checking out, it's when I just go, and I'm like, all right, what's on Netflix? Which is what I'm off on Netflix looking for something. Oh, God, bless America. So I watched that movie Saturday Night, which is about the first episode of Saturday Night Live.
Oh, I've seen that.
Yeah, it was okay. It was so patently. I mean, I know a lot of that stuff happened. What was funny about that was we watched it. Do you have Peacock?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, so we watched that. Then we went to Peacock, and we went back through the 50 years of Saturday, and we watched that episode, the very first Saturday Night.
Yeah, I've seen it too.
Now, I was 15. I remember, so this whole thing about we're going to run Carson or we're going to do this show and it's going to be a last second decision, I'm pretty sure that never really happened that way because they were promoting the heck out of it. And I was talking about it in school. I was in ninth grade and we were all talking about going and watching this Saturday. We couldn't wait for George Carlin and Billy Preston, because it was big number one hit at the time, mm-hmm. and we were all going to watch this show, and so we were talking about it at school, and so we all raced home and stayed up late on Saturday night to watch this first ever Saturday night show, and then, I remember coming back, and we were all buzzing about how great it was, and then now to watch it back 50 years later, it wasn't very good.
Definitely a product of his time. It's probably way more exciting then with it being something new and inventive than it probably feels looking back at it. Because looking back at it, it feels a little disjointed.
Oh, it was disjointed.
Yeah.
I mean, the dated isn't so much a worry because it was 50 years ago. Of course, it's dated in some of the humor that you could never get away with now. But it just wasn't really all that funny.
And, the Weekend Update was still funny in that episode, though.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
The thing with the Blaine Hotel was funny.
Yeah, the Lorraine Hotel bit, yeah.
Yeah. Guests of the Saturday stay at the fabulous Blaine Hotel. Okay, that was funny. But, I don't know. So that's what I was watching instead of the Hawks because I'm like, I'm out.
Yeah, Jeff, I don't blame you. I kind of checked out the game before the first Toronto game. I didn't watch the first Toronto game because I was like, I'm not doing this with them tonight. And it was what I thought it was going to be. And you haven't quite picked back up yet. So I don't blame you for checking out because I kind of did too, honestly. It's hard to watch.
So what do you do now? We have a couple hours to talk about this and a couple other things, three things, NFL playoffs and the Falcons and the Hawks and whatever else is on your mind here. Did you see Saturday night? Did you watch the very first episode? That'd be something. If anybody went back and watched the first episode like I did, to not know that the superstars that they were about to become. 404-726-0929 is the number if you want to jump into the program. 404-726-0929. Live on a Sunday morning from the Northern Kia Studios, John Fricke on Sports Radio 92 on the game. Sports Radio 99 the game from the Northern Kia Studios on a Sunday morning. You know, backbeat bass, Noel was so clutch. I mean, you know, what made Mother's Finest backbeat bass? You know, that came, you know, everybody thinks, you know, that backbeat bass, that was a 70s thing, you know? I mean, a heavy 70s thing. You know, so all the hip hoppers that covered that backbeat bass. Anyway, want to talk to you because I said yesterday here on the program that with the trade deadline 10, 11 days away, the Hawks ought to, you know, consider the only thing they couldn't do was just stand there and do nothing. Now with the news that Jalen Johnson is out indefinitely, they could probably... Look, they don't have to answer to us. They don't really talk to us. It's one of the frustrating things I think I have with the wrestlers is that they are not talkative. You know, you say what you like about Arthur Blank. The man does talk to the media quite often. Quite often. More than you realize, he talks to the media. He's on our station quite a bit. He's not shy of talking about it. I mean, he doesn't talk as much, obviously, as some owners do. Some do, some don't. They just like to and they don't like to. Of course, the Hawks have an advantage, too, to put front and center if they want to. They have an A-list, or she was an A-list, Hollywood actress who knows how to walk and talk and speak. Not that, by the way, Tony Russ is really good in an interview. They're both good, Jamie and Tony. They're both very good speaking. And so... But, you know, so they're not going to have to sit around and justify anything to you or me. It's, you know, I can't make them. I would like to hear the plan. I think, you know, one of my biggest complaints with the Hawks is that they are not as transparent as I would like them to be. Just to tell us what you got going, you know, just broadly. I mean, I know you can't talk about specific names, but there would be no reason in my book that Tony Russler shouldn't be able to come out right now, you know, like after the game last night, go down and stand in front of a couple of reporters, including a couple of cameras, and say, this is not acceptable. We're going to have to figure this out. What are you going to do? I don't know. We're going to sit down and we're going to have a serious discussion with Landry and Kyle and, you know, the whole brain trust here and Coach Quinn and go, we got to figure this out because this cannot continue. Well, that's code for what? I don't know. It's code for something. Because I said the only thing you can't do is just stand there and do nothing and let this continue like this. And I was really on the favor of taking the expiring contracts of Clint and of Nance, other expirings or Dre's contract or Bogey's contract. Bogey's contract is kind of a semi-expiring contract. He's under contract next year. But then after that, you know, you can let him go. And so he's one more year after this. So you add all these parts, all these things that you could play with, like a Bogey contract for a year, Nance and Clint, and put those three together, and you would have gotten about $50 million that you could ship somewhere else for a big star, and they would be able to take all that money off their books, you know, certainly 75% of it, 80% of it after this year, and then Bogey if they don't want to keep him after next, and reset their franchise. And then I thought last night, the Hawks look like maybe they need to reset their franchise. Maybe they need a new direction. And I've had people who have called in here at 404-726-0929 who are Trey haters, which is fine. Look, I'm not asking you to be, you know, I had one guy, Pete, who called in. He was screaming, you know, their record with Trey is this and that, and he just doesn't like Trey Young. Okay, fine. I understand that. I've always been intrigued by the idea of Trey being with, you know, Jalen as he's developed into a star. Would a third star, would this work? It may not. I mean, maybe a total fail. I have no idea. But I'd like to at least try because my fear is Trey would go somewhere else. He would pair up with a star. He would go to Milwaukee with Giannis, or he'd go to Phoenix with KD, or he would go somewhere where he would pair up with a star, and suddenly they would win a title or two, and he'd be standing out there with titles on there, and we're going, why didn't we ever try that? That's the only thing I said. Look, you have an opportunity here to try to do that with this guy, and you're not taking that advantage of that. And then we get the news, not only is the disgusting bad losses in this homestand, which has been arguably the worst homestand of the Atlanta Hawks. You can make an argument. This is this three-game homestand here of Detroit, Toronto, Toronto is the, because of the nature of the way they played and how they played, is the worst homestand, I don't know, since whenever. Since Mike Woodson. I have no idea. I mean, it's been so long since they've been this. This is bottom of the NBA bad. It's worst team in the league bad. And worse than that, it's no life bad. It's terrible. It's just not acceptable. So this is why I'm like, Tony, you know, hey, listen, Tony Russell, get in front of the cameras and say, let us know that you feel our pain here and that you're going to do something about it. Because when you say nothing to us and hide back there, it's like it's fair for all these fans to assume that it's just okay by you. That's what they think. It's just okay. Yeah, he's like, too bad we lost. All right, on to the next game. That's how they feel. Like you don't care about the state of the franchise. Like you couldn't care less. That's how it comes across when you don't talk to us, when you just had the worst homestand, I don't know, in 25 years or, heck, one of the worst homestands in the history of the Atlanta Hawks. I mean, if you go back and say, three-game homestand, history of the Atlanta Hawks, this is right in the top three of the worst. That's how bad it was. I mean, it's truly awful so far. It's just bad. It's give up time. It's wave the white flag time for a team that's still in the playoffs. But that's how bad it is. I wonder if they get that sometimes with the Hawks. You know, and this is only coming from a position of being a Hawks fan for 50 years and somebody who wants the franchise to succeed wildly. I really want the franchise to – I want to win NBA titles. And I take Tony Russell at his word when he said to me on more than one occasion that he wants to win NBA titles. Looked the man in the eye, shook his hand. He says, I want to win NBA titles. Okay, great. But don't just leave us hanging here. Tony, please. You're leaving me hanging here. I've got to talk to all the fans. You don't talk to any of us. You have to let me, instead of talking to me, you've got to let me speculate. But, you know, and then the fans are going to say, and rightfully so, that you, they're going to say, this guy doesn't give a damn. I'm just telling you, that's what they're going to say. Why? Because that's what they're saying to me now. They're saying it to me on X. They're saying it to me on Facebook. And they're saying it on the air, on the flagship station. They're saying, yeah, they don't care about us. They don't care about the franchise. You know, give us a direct, if I were an owner, Noel, if I had the money to be, let me ask you this. If you suddenly walked into $5 billion, okay, not that you're going to or I am, but you suddenly walked into $5 billion and the only caveat was with that $5 billion, you had to buy a professional sports team, okay?
Okay.
What team, what league would you buy a team in?
I feel like you could put a basketball team together the fastest.
No. I'm just saying, what would you, Noel, like to own?
I would like to own a football team.
Okay, and I would like to own a hockey team. I actually love the sport of hockey. I miss it. I still miss the Atlanta Flames to this day. But were I an owner, Noel, I would endeavor at all times to be as transparent. Now, I can't tell you about, I can't do tampering things, but I could tell you, look, my goal is to win multiple championships here, and I will do whatever it takes to win multiple championships. And when things are going bad, I'll have no problem going on the flagship station and saying, look, I understand everybody's pain here. This is not acceptable to me. Because if I own the Hawks, I would be on the air going, this is not going to work for me, okay? So we're going to sit down and figure this thing out. Well, what does that mean? I can't tell you what that means yet, because I want to meet with all the principals, and I'm going to get some outside voices in here too. And I'm going to talk to a lot of people who know the game, and I want to try and figure this thing out, because we have to find a direction that isn't this direction. And whatever we do, we're because the Hawks, to me, as a franchise, Noel, are standing in a fork in the road. I think this is really, that's where they are. It's right is continue with Trey and build with Trey and try and win titles. Left is, all right, it's time to move on. We couldn't do it, or we failed to do it, and we've got to reset the franchise. And I don't really think that there's another option. There's no going straight here, or let's see what happens for the next couple of years, because it's patently obvious. Isn't it, Noel, patently obvious that the team needs to make a firm, strong stand and choose a path?
They do. They do. I think my issue is that they're going to probably lean towards the we can't figure it out and trade Trey instead of actually trying to figure it out.
And the Jalen Johnson injury might give them all the cover they need to do that.
Yay.
So, you know, they say, look, you know, why would we spend all this money going to the luxury tax if we're just going to kind of get more of the same because Jalen's going to be out indefinitely, which he is. So, and I don't know what that means. I mean, it's vague. For all I know, he could be back in a week. But when they now start saying, because they use the term out indefinitely, and it was like, okay, that's not a good term. You know,
Yeah, that's no timeline at all. That means you really don't know.
Yeah, day-to-day is one thing. Out indefinitely? And at this point, if it continues to go sideways, you could just say, look, you're too important to us. We're just going to shut you down for the year. Because, you know, we don't want you to get hurt any worse, you know. So out indefinitely says there's an issue in that shoulder. It's not just, we don't know. So I would hate that the Trey era comes to an end this way. But my fear is that they're going to just stand there and do nothing. Again, if you want to trade Trey, great. If you don't want to trade Trey, great. But if you don't want to trade Trey, then make a move. But now of course, there's almost a third path, which is if you stay with Trey, then it splits again into making a move to try and win now and making a move to pick up picks to try and win in the future and dump salary. And just give up on the season here and try and regroup at the end of the year. You know, that's another option. That's a little branch off the keep Trey trail, which is probably the trail they're going to take, okay? Because I don't think they're going to trade him. Though I think they ought to entertain it at least. I think they ought to entertain it. I think privately and quietly they ought to entertain trading him to see what he can get on the market here. But I think they'll choose the path of keeping Trey and then that branch, which goes off it. Now it splits again. You get to another, Y and a dead end, go and make a big trade here. Cause we had 10 days. Okay. That's the trade deadline, 10, 11 days. Go make a big move for a big player, and take Clint and Bogey and Nance and put them all together in a package and maybe a draft pick and try and go get somebody on a club that's resetting. Or, which by the way, you've got to trade Clint and Nance. You have to do that in the next 10 or 11 days. You've got to do that. It's just which way are you routing that? Are you routing it into packaging it with Bogey to get $50 million worth of matching contracts for a big star plus a draft pick to try to win now and into next year? Or are you going to be trading them for future considerations a la draft picks? Okay. But you can't just let them. The one thing you can't do with Clint and Nance is just let them play the rest of the year and let their contracts expire. I mean, that seems pointless to me. I mean, they could, and they could just say, well, we're going to use all that money to pay Jalen. Okay, fine. I mean, you could. But, boy, I think that's a waste. If you have an opportunity to pick up draft picks, go do it. You know, you just play with, Roddy. Well, Roddy's got an expiring contract too, by the way. So you just play with Roddy and Barlow and, for the rest of the year with those guys, bring up Plowden and Wallace and put them on the active roster, and that's how you're going to play it. But, I mean, get something for them. Don't just let them walk away at the end of the year and you get nothing. That seems silly to me, too. That's mismanagement on a different level. You have an opportunity to trade them, and people want to get out from underneath contracts, right? So you could take a $35 million contract or a $50 million contract that's going to be potentially expiring. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. They're probably not. My best guess is they're not going to do nothing. Okay? And then they're not going to tell us what they're doing. Because it seems like they're just rudderless and they have no game plan. And it's, I think, the most frustrating thing. The most frustrating thing to me is not that they're losing stupid games or having homestands that are just horrifically bad. It's that they don't seem to have any direction in where they're taking the franchise. I mean, winning franchises know where they're going. This franchise is like lost at sea at the moment. We hear nothing, so it leaves us all to in the news business. There's a saying, if there's no news, what fills the vacuum is rumor and speculation. And that's what's happening right now. There's no news, and so that something has to fill into that, and that's rumor and speculation, which is all we're left to do. All right, quick break as we continue on a Sunday morning with John Fricke on Sports Radio 99 The Game. Spent so much time over the last couple of days here talking about the Hawks, and I was just thinking here, I think it may come across that I'm, you know, and I talk about the ownership and the management that I'm anti. I'm not anti. Look, that thing I was talking about yesterday, if I talk about you, if I mention your name, it's because I like you. Even if I'm chiding you or digging at you, it's because I like you. If I don't like somebody, which is rare, I like 98% of the people I meet, but if I don't like you, then I don't talk about you on the air. I never mention your name. I just don't. I avoid it because I don't like you. And so if I'm not talking about a particular thing on my show, in my airtime, which is valuable to me, it means that I'm not all that interested. For example, and I don't mean this in any slight, we can't like everything in sports, all right? We just can't. We can't devote all our time to every sport. You know, you may be a huge, gigantic tennis fan, and you say, you know, you don't talk enough about tennis. Well, in all honesty, I like tennis. But the Australian Open's going on. I'm not talking about it because I'm not watching it because I don't really care. And I haven't probably watched a full tennis match from beginning to end since the, Wimbledon or U.S. Open finals when Jimmy Connors or John McEnroe was playing. I mean, that's how long it's been. It's just not right in my wheelhouse. And then if you're a big tennis fan, you get offended by that. And I'm like, don't be offended. You don't watch rugby, do you? Well, we only can devote so much of our time and energy as sports fans to certain things. And the Hawks are something that I do some of their pre- and post-games. I've been following the team for 50 years. Steve Holman shows up at the Hawks, at the then-Hawks flagship station, WGST, where I was working. His first night, we've talked about this before, I've known Steve for 46 years. 46 years. And his first night in town, he had come in from Boston. I'm sitting in the newsroom at WGST right there at Far Road in Piedmont. And he buzzes the door. He's in the lobby, and there's nobody in the lobby. And I'm the only one in the newsroom. Well, I think it was me and Miller Pope. God rest his soul. We were the two people in the newsroom at the time. Yeah, it's a long time ago. God rest the soul of that wonderful man. And I go out to the lobby, and there's a guy standing here, and, you know, he says, hey, my name is Steve, and I'm the new sports guy. And I'm like, oh, hey, I'm John, hey, come on in. So the first person he met at WGST and working in Atlanta was me. So we're standing there. This is 46 years ago, right? And then, at that time, WGST, News Radio 92, the sports staff was, Noel, the sports staff in 1979 at WGST was myself. It's myself, Steve Holman, and Brad Nessler. Pretty good sports staff for a local radio station in Atlanta. Pretty good sports staff. And I've been a fan of this team for forever. And because I care, I talk about them. So if it comes across that I'm digging on management or digging on ownership, it's only because I care. If I didn't care, I would say, to hell with the Hawks. They suck. Let's move on. I wouldn't spend any time on them. I just wouldn't waste my breath. 404-726-0929 if you want to jump in on that, and we can certainly talk about it. I'm wondering if starting over isn't the better option. I don't think they'll do it. It's just not in their DNA to do that. But right now, I see no future for this team. Unless you can convince me otherwise. What do I think they're going to do? Because, again, without news and without them talking about it, I'm left to speculate. I think they will stay the course. I think they'll let this season play out. I think they're not going to do much anything. If they make any move between now and the trade deadline, it's going to be very minor. It'll be around the edges. It'll be a Luke Kennard. And that'll be it. Because Bogey isn't getting a cut. We got to replace kind of the Bogey thing here. I think, you know, for my money, I'm like, put Keaton Wallace. I know Plowden played last night. I'm like, put Keaton Wallace and Plowden in there and let them go. That was did we have a spark in the last, time here that wasn't, Trey or Dyson has had moments, obviously. But DeAndre Hunter, he's lost at sea. Bogey's so lost at sea, he's drowning out there. But Keaton Wallace and Plowden were a breath of fresh air. It was like, look, there may not be a long-term game plan, but at least they're fun. I'd rather lose with those guys, you know. I'd rather lose with energy than watch this, because this is bad basketball. And it's got to frustrate Quinn Snyder, too, I would imagine. You'd think, because he knows what this team is capable of. They're capable of beating Boston and New York and Cleveland and Milwaukee in Boston, in New York, in Cleveland, in Milwaukee. And yet they turn around and do this at home to Toronto back-to-back. And they lose by 23 in a game where the Q word comes in. It's like, what are you guys doing? All right, we'll get into some other stuff, too, because it is a big day of the National Football League. The NFL's AFC and NFC title games are today, and they are live on Sports Radio 90.9 The Game beginning at 2 o'clock this afternoon. You got Washington at Philadelphia, Commanders and Eagles, and then you got Buffalo and Kansas City coming up at after that. And so the back-to-back doubleheader, and the winners, of course, go off to the Super Bowl down in the Swamp. I don't have a dog in the hunt here, but I'm kind of sort of rooting for the Bills a little bit. And not that I hate any of the other teams. Don't really care. I don't care about the Eagles. Don't care about the Commanders. Don't really care about the Chiefs. Don't really care about the Bills. But I feel for the fans of Buffalo who have never won a Super Bowl. The other three franchises have all won multiple Super Bowls. Redskins won multiple Super Bowls. Eagles won multiple Super Bowls. Obviously, the Chiefs have over the last few years. Obviously, they have. I mean, they've been the best franchise in the NFL now for a number of years. And so I would say to you that of those, the Buffalo fan base, they went to four Super Bowls. For those of you who don't remember, they had a great team, and they just kept running into juggernauts. And they have one Super Bowl against the Giants where if their field goal kicker doesn't miss a chip shot field goal, they have a Super Bowl crown. And he missed a chip shot. I think it was 20-19 or something like that. He misses a chip shot. Oh. No, and I mean a chip shot. It was 32-35 yards to win it. You know, that moment that everybody, it's, you know, the Super Bowl's on the line, 32-yard field goal. It's good. You know, you're doing Carl Spackler from, like, Caddyshack. No, he missed it. It's like, I felt so bad. Jim Kelly and Thurman Thomas and Bruce Smith and Marv Levy and all those greats of that Buffalo Bills dynasty. And it was a dynasty. They went to four Super Bowls in, 5 years and or six. I mean, they were dominating the AFC, and they couldn't win one. And so hopefully for them, they win one. And so it'd be kind of cool if they did. Again, I have no betting interest. I'm not trying to throw you Chiefs under the bus here. I'm not anti-Chiefs. I'm not anti-anybody. And that goes to the Falcons. You know, what are the Falcons going to do here? When you look at the final four teams, Washington, Philadelphia, Buffalo, Kansas City, you played three of the four, right? And two of those you played on the road. You played at Washington and at Philadelphia, played KC at home, and you could have won all three. I mean, you went to overtime against Washington. If your backup pull him off the street kicker makes the field goal, and he's got the, by the way, does have the leg to do it, makes that field goal, Falcons win in Washington. They won in Philadelphia on the Kirk Cousins miracle when we all thought Kirk Cousins had something. And, of course, they took Kansas City to the wire, and they got refereed. Do you remember that? Kyle Pitts back of the end zone. The ball, you know, gets tackled in the back of the end zone before the ball even gets close to getting there, and no call. One of the many no calls or calls that went in favor of the Chiefs that have led us all to call in the Kansas City referees. Bills at refs today. You know, I'm just telling you. Kansas City, of course, is the team to beat, even with the, you know, non-referee-aided thing. They've won three in a row over Buffalo in the postseason. Kansas City, to its credit, you know, everybody talks about the whole they get calls thing, which they have. But Kansas City has also, while they've won a lot of close games, Kansas City's gone eight straight games without a turnover. Eight straight games without a turnover. Okay, that's... No fumbles, no interceptions, eight straight without a turnover. That's pretty impressive. That's how you win a lot of football games. Don't kill yourself. And eight straight games over, that's how you win close games, because we just don't give you a chance to win them. Buffalo, on the other hand, had the best turnover takeaway to turnover ratio in the entire NFL. 35 takeaways, 8 turnovers. So that's that kind of little thing. And Buffalo beat them in the regular season. So we'll see how that kind of plays out tonight. between those two. It'll be really, really an interesting thing. One other thing about the Kansas City referees here is that the referee for tonight's game in the AFC is a guy named Cleet Blakeman. He's one of the veteran, considered probably maybe the top referee now in the NFL. Since Pat Mahomes, there's a stat that I saw today, and I went, oh, that's really interesting, so I'll pass it along. Since Patrick Mahomes came into the NFL, Cleet Blakeman has refereed a dozen Chiefs games, okay? A dozen games where the Chiefs have played. The Chiefs are 6-6 in those games. In the other games where Blakeman was not a referee, 6-6 in the games where Cleet Blakeman is the referee. In the other games where he's not, the Chiefs are 110-30. And one of the reasons is that Blakeman is second lowest, throws the second fewest roughing the passer penalties in the entire NFL. And that is a big talking point right now, the whole sliding thing with Mahomes, and Blakeman is second fewest. Now, this is coming from a guy in Blakeman. You're going to go, does he just not see it? Blakeman's a quarterback. He was a quarterback in college. How do I know that? Because he was a quarterback at my school. He was a starting quarterback at Nebraska. And Cleet Blakeman, when he was a player, was a run-pass quarterback, but he's big and strong. And so in that option offense, or not option, it's power eye, that Tom Osborne ran, Blakeman did a lot of running. And so Blakeman was, as a quarterback, he was good. In college, he was good. But he was a little like, his game was like Josh Allen's, okay? Big, strong, running guy, you know, just, he wasn't a slider. He was running what they had to run there in those days. So he was, as a quarterback, used to getting hit. And so he's obviously one of those guys that, don't be a weenie, you're going to get hit, you're playing quarterback. So he's second fewest in the league in throwing, roughing the passer penalties. It'll be interesting today to see if Mahomes gets one of those calls, you know, where he's barely touched. Because Mahomes is, well, I'll give, look, say what you like. Patrick Mahomes has kind of perfected and crafted this whole, flop thing. You know, he's the kind of guy, he goes towards the sideline, somebody puts a hand on him, he flops. You know, he's got the soccer flop thing down, and it gets him flags. You know, he's pretty good at being able to draw flags. You know what I mean? Because people go, oh, he got touched. He fell over, you know, so he's pretty smart about how he does it. You remember when Trey would get all those people mad at him because he'd blow around him and then he'd stop and they'd run over him and everybody would say, it's just bogus what he does to draw fouls. Well, at least he actually got hit, you know. Mahomes falls down and fades, you know, he fakes it. Mahomes got a future in wrestling, you know what I mean? I mean, he knows how to flop. He's like, he took lessons in it. He got like soccer players and wrestlers to show him how to flop. Hey, it works. I'm not blaming him. If Michael Penix could do that and get a few calls, hey, more power to you. So that'll be a kind of an interesting thing. Oh, you should also know that Joe Brady's taken his name out of the search in New Orleans. That's another little NFL note. Bill's offensive coordinator, former LSU guy, right? He's taking, because it's going to be Mike McCarthy. Swampers are the only team without a head coach, and it's probably going to be McCarthy. So Brady's like, I'm not dealing with this. Hire whoever you want. I'm out. All right, top of the hour here, taking you to 11 o'clock this morning, 404-726-0929. I've just been kind of in my feels about the Atlanta Hawks this morning. We'll also get into a discussion, too, about, if I have time here, college. There are a lot of meetings coming up, NFL and college football, talking about, and NBA, all three, that are talking about major changes to all three sports. I'll tell you about that in the next hour on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.